Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Amen. Our scripture today, just remain standing. We're going to go into that. We're going to Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 27. There's an opportunity for us to look at something, and actually that's the title of my message today, Withholding Nothing. So we'll pick up these verses, you read the responding verses. Verse 17 says, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. Serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. Testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. And indeed, now I know that you all among you whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Verse 27 together, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Father, today, as we look into your word, Lord, we're talking about a man named Paul, who would be one of the terrorists in our particular culture, who went about just dispelling what he believed to be true, and then somehow there was a shift that happened in him. And now he's ready to offer up his life for the benefit of other people. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would teach us today a whole different revelation of what it means to not withhold anything, but to give our all in all for whom we believe in. And Jesus, I pray that the power of the Spirit would reach into the hearts of those who've been holding back, have been waiting for their opportunity, that let them know that today is the day they can hear your voice and follow after you. We thank you for these things. We praise you for them in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. My introduction would go a little bit like this. You know, as we see the holidays swiftly coming, we have an opportunity of giving ourselves in so many ways that confront us. And you're going to be confronted with the bell ringers on the corner. You're going to be confronted by different ones who want you to volunteer for this and volunteer for that. And there's a part of us that everyone, I think, really wants to do something significant, and you want to give of yourself. But how do you get to the place where you're not withholding anything? You say, well, I got to hold something back for myself. And really, this message today is to get us to the place where the Holy Spirit has complete control over everything we do and everything we say. And that sounds like a big order, but I believe he can do that. And I believe there are people in this place today that really have been wondering, how do you do that? Well, time, our most valued commodity, will be displayed in many forms and expressions through the tangible exchanges of items or expressions that equate to our intent to let people know their value to us. You know, I have to admit, I shop online. Amazon Prime. Now you know. But that's not, the reason why I say that is not to get your, pique your interest of why I do certain things that way, but it's not, doesn't mean there's any intent that's any less than that. It's just, I don't like crowds. I don't like shopping centers. I don't like people who cut you off in your parking spaces. That's how I stay saved. Salvation remains with me when I do. Somebody say amen. Amen. But it still doesn't minimize the idea that I want to do what I want to give. I want to be able to give my best. There's no less thought that goes into the fact of me finding that particular item because I'm thinking of that person in mind of how much it'll be a blessing to them. Let me just ask you some questions and we'll dive right into this. First of all, have you truly embraced the truth of the scripture that says you are not your own? I'm not my own sometimes. But there's a certain part of us we just really don't want to readily give away. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Second thing would be this. Does the opportunity to give of yourself bring you joy, or is the fact that, well, you owe somebody something and you want to let them know that you love them as much as you believe they love you, so it's almost like you're just kind of paying off a debt? Something wrong with that. How about this? Have you found delight in fulfilling the ministry that God has given you, was given to you by the Lord? Is it a burden to you, or is it a desire that you want to be all that Jesus wants you to be? I believe I've got the right people today that I can give them what I believe God has imparted to me. Well, removing the things that hinder your progress, we'll go back to 20 verse 24, and it says this, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish the race with glory. So he says, none of these things I count dear to me and the ministry which I receive from the Lord to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Every single thing we have is by God's grace. We earn nothing. Say, well, you know, it's because I finished school and I got my PhD or I got my master's, and this is the reason why I'm rewarded. No, 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 honey. No, on your best day. Amen. Let me help you with that. Okay. We don't get real today. Help me, Jesus. All right, we must be willing to embrace the things that God really requires of us. That means we must resolve the issue of who really controls our life. The power of the Holy Spirit is amazing. And I do not doubt anyone's salvation who has come to the place where the Holy Spirit has kind of changed your way of thinking, the way of acting. But you know something? We relapse. We take control back. And let me show you how that works. Well, it is not a matter of what is important, but rather what is dear to us. The things we hold dear to us are the things we will fight for. Or the things we won't allow people to take from us. We will just say, no, no, no. I got to draw the line here. No further. I believe there's some lines are going to be drawn today, but in a different dimension, where the Holy Spirit is going to say to you, you know, the things you really hold dear to you should be the things that God holds dear to himself. There'll be no disparity between the two. Rather this, the things that we hold dear are sometimes sequestered and guarded by our emotions and desires. And if you're living your life on the basis of your emotions, you're in trouble. Because your emotions will change. That car you thought you couldn't live without, that breaks down every 8 weeks, all of a sudden ain't so dear to you. It's dear to your wallet. But you saw yourself behind the wheel and you saw everybody turning their head. It ain't that dear no more. Well, let me move on. Common sense covered by layers of Christian emotions, listen to what I'm saying here, often becomes our guide to make decisions. I got to repeat that one because somebody needs a rerun. Common sense covered by layers of Christian emotions often becomes our guide to making decisions. We are emotional decision makers. Don't say amen, say oh me. If you're in a good mood, you're going to decide one way. If you're in a bad mood, you're going to decide another way. Don't tell me it's any different. I know, because we're all of the same blood. But God is going to help us today. Because look at it this way. Paul makes it clear that his resolve from the very beginning was unwavering. And I'll tell you, he was somebody to deal with. But I'll tell you one thing about when he was Saul and now he's Paul. Whatever he believed, he was all in. He was all in. He said, Christians are a detriment and they need to be taken out. I'm going to get some warrants. I'm going to put them in jail. I'm going to have them killed because they're going against what I truly, honestly believe in. And the fellow on his way to kill somebody, the Holy Spirit said, that's enough. Knocked him to the ground. He hears a voice and all of a sudden he gets converted. And you know what? The switch was turned the other direction. There was no in between. Some of you need the switch turned. You hear what I'm saying? Because you're kind of halfway in the middle. You know, we have, it's all good. No, it ain't all good. It's called half done, lukewarm. Well, it's going to get exciting here in a minute. Watch out. Paul was intent and focused on his assignment from the Lord via the Holy Spirit. Now, if you read, we'll read back through that in just a moment. He says, in his dialogue, he's just trying to explain to folks, he says, you know, the Holy Spirit made it aware to me that bad times are ahead. Things are going to get rough. There to testify the Holy Spirit, he says, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, knowing that things that will happen to me, except the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Are you still going to go when you know chains and tribulations await you? You say, you know, I need to think about that. Can I think it over? Can I get back to you on that? That's the problem. His decisions were often in direct opposition to get to this, common sense. And I want to talk to all you common sense folks in here. Well, common sense says that, you know, common sense got you in trouble where you are today. Somebody say amen. Amen. Everybody else is doing it. I can do it too. They got away with it, so can I. That's why you, Yes, Lord. When we humbly submit to the Lord, we can expect that our emotions will be invaded with trials and tests. Romans 12:1, scripture we ought to know. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The problem is we don't know what reasonable service means. Because we take reasonable service and we filter it through our emotional filter. And if it doesn't feel just right, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to lie to myself. And when I feel good about it, that's when I'm going to do it. God is not concerned about what you feel about it. He's concerned about his will, and we must submit our emotions and every part of us to God's will. Amen. Well, here we go. Our reasonable service to God may completely go against total surrender, or what we think it is. Everybody had somebody tell you you pray too much? Oh, honey, you fast too much. You need to stop that fasting. That fasting is not good for you. That fasting, that's making you look crazy. Oh, you give too much, honey. No, hold back a little bit for yourself. You give them way, way, way too much. No, slow down, slow down, slow down, slow down. None of you in danger. And what God is asking for is reasonable service. Well, let me help define that. When we see what we see as reasonable may differ greatly from what the Spirit of God will deem reasonable. Paul's in a situation and he knows ahead of time there's jail in his future. There are hard times in his future. There's rejection in his future. There are those people who will come after him and his very life will be at stake and people are going to stone him. But you know what? It doesn't stop him from fulfilling what God calls his reasonable service. I'm here to toughen you up in the spirit to be able to take what God has aligned for you and you'll be able to do it with J-O-Y, joy. Because you know what the Bible says? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse tribulations, all this other type of thing. Because God has purposes. This is what God has for your life. God isn't trying to take you out. He's trying to take you up. Boy, that arrived by itself. I didn't have that moment. Praise God. Jesus. Things that we feel will not affect our relationship to our call may indeed hold us from fulfilling our call. I'll tell you how it works. I'll talk about me, not you, because you get offended too easy. And we tell ourselves, well, you know, I just need one more day to figure this out, and I'll take care of that tomorrow. I know you never say that. I do. Well, you know, if I get one more week of this, get this thing taken care of, I can really get this thing done and blah, blah. All I need is another month and I get everything in order, then I can do what I believe God has called me to do. Who told you you had tomorrow? Who told you you have tomorrow? The presumptuousness that we have, that I have, that we all have, that we have another day is what the enemy will use to keep you away from the will of God. Well, when we are, I like this phrase, all in, we can anticipate there will be opposition by the enemy and circumstances that he will use against us. I want to tell you something. I'm going to reveal something that the devil knows. He knows and is tracking every single one of you that have made a 100% resolve to do Jesus' will. He knows that. It's not hidden from you. But because it is depicted by the way you act, the way you talk, the way you pray, the way you give. And if it's anything less than 100%, he says, oh, I still got time with him. But the 100% folk, he's after you. Because you're dangerous. Half-baked folks, ain't no big deal. Look at me. Half-baked, don't matter. Bible says, God says, I want you either hot or cold. Lukewarm, you lukewarm folks, God says, I ain't interested in you folks. You haven't even made up your mind yet. Cold folks, I can put some heat underneath you. Lukewarm folks. All right, here's what I learned. I remember this years ago. I had a coffee. This is back when they had percolators, right? I'm dating myself. Okay. I bought this percolator, and I was going to make some coffee, right? So I figured, well, I won't put hot water in. I'll put some lukewarm water in there, kind of speed up the process. You know what? It never percolated. You know why? Because of lukewarm water. See, it thinks the job's already been done. And so it would never engage the thermostat. It only works with cold waters so we can make it hot. See, you're trying to be a lukewarm person and try to get yourself going. Oh, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. Somebody got it. You got to admit how cold you are so the Holy Spirit can fire you up. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let me get back to all in. I'm feeling something. We must be released from the idea that our life is exclusive and valued only to ourselves. Somebody say ouch. Because when we allow ourselves to be totally given over to Christ, we will respond differently to things that happen to us. Now, look at the profile that Paul's leaving for. He says, the Holy Spirit's told me bad things are going to happen to me. I'm going to tell you this right now, all of us, myself included. There are some bad things that are going to happen to you. But they don't have to affect you negatively. You're going to be hurt, lied on, confused, abused, stolen from, this type of thing. But none of these things should separate you from the love of God. Let's unpack this a little more, because If we decide the time that we give to Christ is the least that we can do, we will discover what true ministry looks like. That's the very least you can do. Well, our ordinary and reasonable service to God may compete against our total surrender to Him. And let me just kind of define that for you, because I wrestled with this for a while, and this is what I came up with. We must surrender our ideas of what we think would be valuable to the Lord. Because some of the things you think are valuable to God, God ain't thinking about it. Like old folks say, I ain't studying that. Really? God don't want your pizza pop-ups. Air pudding. That's not real food. See, y'all laugh because you know what I'm talking about. Something that's kind of fill the gap. God wants something with substance to it. Let me show you what I mean. Some things we give to the Lord that we think are valuable are merely leftovers and second thoughts. Do you realize that God demands to be first? Second will not do. That's hard for us. I know sometimes it's hard for me. I'll be honest with you. I think as I make God first, and He says, oh, hold on. Test for you. First thing you do in the morning. What's the first thing you do in the morning? Don't say it out loud. We don't want to hear it. But some of you, before you can say, I can't even think straight till I get my coffee. Then I'll talk to Jesus. I'm not playing with you. He said, oh, you're just making jokes about, you know, different things and about, you know, I didn't mention the S word today, the Starbucks. Anyway. No. And this is not against people who work at Starbucks or anything of this nature. But when you have already described this, that you can't talk to Jesus until something happens with you physiologically to awaken your body, there's something wrong with what you've got as an addiction that keeps you from getting to God first. Because I guarantee you, if you were in some other foreign land where it's not available, Jesus would get you a lot quicker. Work with me, people. But what we've done, we have superimposed things that we have become accustomed to as being the pathway before we can get to God, and it's got to get out of the way. Yeah. Repeat after me these words. God wants to be first in all things. Now, if we can just digest that one particular thing, I believe there'll be a revolution, there'll be a revival within the church of God like you've never seen before. Well, here we go. Our common sense and emotional responses can lead us away from the real purpose and meaning. Well, real joy and purpose is a fulfillment in the purpose we find in doing what God created us to do. John chapter 20, verse 21. Let's read that. Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Every single person in this room has been dispatched by Jesus. As the Father sent me, Jesus says this, so send I you. There's not one person that will escape from underneath the anointing of God that has sent you forth in this world. Now that seems too simplistic, so let's look at a couple things that might relate to that. We must be willing to trust God that whatever He leads us wherever he leads us has divine purpose. Now, if I pick up those verses in back in Acts chapter 20, verses 22 and 23, it's very interesting here. He says, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, knowing that the things that will happen to me there, except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. In every city. Some of you say, I'm so glad troubles don't last always. Who told you that? Stop getting all thrilled. Troubles don't have to harass you. Sometimes they can let you know you're on the right track. Now, if the devil don't ever mess with you, I doubt if you're doing anything significant. Take your ball and go home. Okay, well, we're good. Okay. We must be willing to obey by surrendering our spirit to the Holy Spirit, and the thought of suffering for the Lord should not be a deterrent to our obedience. Now, to suffer because you're stupid, that's one thing. I'm sorry. That came out. Take it back, Rich. Yeah. No, be suffer because you're not paying attention. Is that better? I'm going to get out of it. I'm done, okay? Because you're stupid. Whatever. Send me some email. I'm good. Okay. Nothing should deter our obedience. And it means this. We must be faithful to the ministry that we receive from the Lord. I want to hasten on to a couple of places I need to arrive at very quickly. Our life's value is found in the fulfillment of the ministry of what God has in mind. We must not count our life dear to ourselves alone. Now, this is one place I want to encompass you and kind of bring you closer together as a body, as our church here. I think many of us have been lied to by the devil and not realize how dear you are to other people in the body of Christ, how dear you are to other fellow brothers and sisters here at New Song. Let me tell you what the devil does. When you're not in fellowship for a week or two at a time, says, oh, and the devil says, they don't miss you. You're not really a significant part of the church and this type of thing. They can make it just fine without you and da, 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 da. And he just will tell you all this stuff. But here's the bad part about it. Sometimes we who suffer from the same problem of identity, he gets into us. And so people don't really communicate the value of people in the body of Christ. And we don't, you know, call each other, reach out to each other, because we're dealing with our own issues. In the same way that you are blessed when someone reaches out to you and lets you know how much you mean to them, we need to learn how to reciprocate. And sometimes it's just a phone call. Nowadays they do texts. Lord help us, Jesus. I mean, go ahead and text me if you want to, but you know, I like your voice a whole lot better than I like your print. Because you know what I found out? I did this by accident the other day. I mean, I knew my phone would probably do something like this, but I hit that little, you know, microphone button there in the corner, and I was getting ready to, you know, text somebody. And I started talking, and all of a sudden, it started putting what I said down there in print. I said, my phone can do that. I'm serious. I had a discovery moment. But here comes the devil. He says, you know, you don't have to even use your finger no more. All you got to do is speak into the phone, and it'll write out all your feelings, and just press send, and you all good. That was the devil. Because there are times you need to hear my voice, and I need to hear yours. You hear what I'm saying? It's a dear thing. And believe me, I'm not minimizing. I mean, technology is a wonderful thing, but when we are letting technology tell folks how much we care, sometimes it's a voice. You need to hear from me. I need to hear from you. Amen. Well, here we go. Jesus informed Paul from the beginning that his life would require suffering. Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. This is in the very beginning, after he gets saved. But the Lord said to me, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, let me take you back to the first part. Go, for he is a chosen vessel. Chosen vessel to suffer for my name's sake. God chose you to get beat up. Boy, that don't sound good. God chose you to be marginalized. God chose you to be, you know, rebuked by folks, to have people be lied on, cheated. Here's what you got to concentrate on. When God chose you as one of his vessels, he also equipped you to handle what comes after that. And you know the other reason why God chose you? Because he's going to empower you not to just make it, but to bring glory to his name when you go through all of these hard trials. You don't have to cave underneath hard stuff. Does it hurt? Yes. Will you cry real tears? Yes. Will you be abandoned? Yes. But you know what? Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Well, we're chosen by God. But here's the part that I sometimes we forget. We've been chosen to bear his name. Now, and I don't want to flippantly use the word Christian. Everybody's Christian now. I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah. And then what follows is thinking, whose Christian are you? Which Christ did you meet? It's the Christ of everything. He just lets me be whoever I want. He never condemns me. He just knows how I am. He knows I'm weak. He knows I'm these things. And he just loves me just as I am. You're right, he loves you. I'm going to tell you something. I love my children, and all of them are doing pretty good. I got one that's way out there a little ways. Don't love him any less, but I'll tell you what, I will not compromise with him at all. I'm not going to change the rules at all. Jesus is still the only way. Jesus is still the only truth. It doesn't stop me from loving, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell you the truth. And, you know, part of loving you is telling you the truth. Well, we must be willing to suffer as a result of bearing his name. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Here comes another. We are not offered an option as to whether or not we want to suffer. Yes. And all, read that with me, y'all. Here we go. Yes. And all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer. Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You just read your own indictment. How'd that feel? Warm? Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's what you signed up for. But you know how we escape that? You know how you just, and those who live God. So then if I live ungodly, then I won't suffer persecution. Check it out. Oh, everybody loves me. I'm not off with anybody. Everybody just loves, everybody wants to be my friend, this type of thing. You better check it out. Because it says, those all who desire to live godly will. Everybody say will. The devil will try to trip you up, and some of those people you've made alliances with, they will help him. We must know Jesus. Now, this is going to mess with some of you theology. I know you'll be upset. It's okay. We must know Jesus as more than our personal Savior. Oh, he's my personal Savior. Because this is a very personal thing. I can't tell you anything about it. It's just inside of me. That is not biblical. We're supposed to declare it to everyone we can, to proclaim the gospel. This is not to be hidden. It's to be shared with other folks. It's just too personal. I know you're glad I'm just about done. The clock's against me. Oh, I'll be up here again someday, so here we go. Godliness is the incubator. Godliness is incubated, in persecution and suffering. That's the incubator for godliness. If you want to be godly, don't panic when you start suffering persecution. God's working it out. Why is this happening to me? Want to live godly? That's a part of the process. Now, let me take you to the other side of the coin. Doesn't mean you just live all raggedy. See, I don't know why things are happening. Because you live in raggedy, okay? That's the reason why people don't like you and don't want to be around you, because you don't pay your bills and you're a mooch and you're all this other type of thing. That's you. That's all on you. Don't be blaming that on Jesus. Jesus told me not to pay you. Jesus told me I could be late. No, he didn't. Living all kind of way upside crazy and sideways. No. You'll be okay. We must give our final answer to the question and follow through with obedience. This is it. John 21:17. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Wow. Loving Jesus is more than an emotional response to him because he has redeemed our souls. If we truly love him, we'll obey him. Really. And what that means to me today is that if I truly am committed to do the things that God has called me to do, I'm going to fulfill the calling of God on my life. I want to race to the end of this. I need to finish this particular part. Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says, we must allow the confession of our mouth to come into alignment with our God-appointed destiny. This is a scripture that is very, very important. Luke, the one in Luke, please. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth, read that word. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Do you wonder why crazy stuff's coming out of your life? Listen to how you talk. And pay attention to who you're talking to. I couldn't quit without this particular part. We must speak honestly and sincerely from our hearts the message of redemption, which means this: our speech must not be influenced by the people that we are with. Do you know what got Peter in trouble? When he denied who Jesus was, all of a sudden all these people sitting around like fire and this type of thing. One of them comes and says, weren't you with Jesus the other day? This is his chance to testify. Oh, let me lay this out for somebody here. Over, they're over here. They're not over there. Oh, you'll get yours. Okay. There are times when God makes it so easy for you to speak up for the Lord and you don't do it. Oh, well, I go to church. I go to New Song. So what? But do you know Jesus? Can you tell me how to find him for myself? Wow. Our actions must be in sync with our speech. Words do not disappear just because we've forgotten them. And we kind of flippantly just say this and that. No. Let me show you what that means. Choir, make your way up here. That'll slow me down. Okay. Oh, stop me. Okay. They have power to create. They have power to destroy. They have power to bind. They have power to loose. That's what your words have. Words become a powerful force of good or evil. The Holy Spirit lives inside of the believer and will purpose to manifest the will of God. And we must guard our minds by allowing the Spirit access to filter out the things of the flesh and release them through the power of the Spirit. It's one last scripture, I think, that will seal everything for us. My statement is, let your words be an expression of your surrender to God's purpose for your life. Ephesians 4:29. This is the one. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impact grace to the hearers. I'm going to deputize us to embrace God's message of grace and forgiveness to those who have erred, to allow healing and restoration to reclaim what the enemy has stolen, and to let encouragement and blessing prevail against the works of darkness. Boy, that's a big deal. But it's huge. Because we start out of our journey today withholding nothing from the Lord. Every single person in this room has the ability and the opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to have first priority in our life. In other words, and I'm going to put it in a very practical sense, and this will help you to evaluate. Friends that don't help you climb keep you crawling. Woo! Ha! Zinger! You need to evaluate your compadres, your posse, your homies. Come on. And let me tell you why. Pay attention to what you pay attention to. What grabs your interest that quick? Second thing is, your association will expand your vision or choke your future. Oh, I got one more and I'm going to let it go. You resemble those with whom you assemble. Wonder how you got that way? Take a look around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't make a long closing. The Holy Spirit is working with folks right here today. Withholding nothing was a message the Lord just, I mean, literally hammered into my spirit. Your heads bowed with your eyes closed. The testimony of Larry's life in this body, one of the things that grabbed me significantly, it just happened that we did this memorial on first Sunday when we have communion. And they made mention of the many times he let the communion plate pass by, but also the many times that There was an altar call and he didn't respond. But one day a person drew a line in the carpet or whatever it was and says, are you ready to step over the line and really belong to someone? I'm going to pray a prayer today that I believe is a sanctifying prayer, is a prayer of people making a decision as to where they're going to spend their destiny, who they're going to align themselves with, how they're going to allow the Holy Spirit to take control of their life. Say, well, I'm already saved. I got two words for you. So what? Because if it hasn't impacted anybody at this particular point, I would ask you, saved from what? God has a plan for you and for me. And anything that's in the way of keeping that from occurring needs to be renounced and put away today. That Jesus can be Lord of all. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.